Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Ramos, why'd you play the wrong open?
I didn't play the wrong open.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
It is the incorrect open, but because of things that are in the show later on,
Right.
Yeah,
I got it.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you mentally and oratorially heard it.
I've been doing this a while.
No, I know.
Right.
I know.
And. You know, there's a general timing to how things work in my mind, and I had to look up and go, wait, I thought it was 5 o'clock in the East. I thought it was 2 o'clock. Anyway.
Don't worry. I never try to slip anything by you. I figured you would say something.
Hey, say something.
Maybe I should have said something to you before I played it. That way you would have known.
Okay. Well, there's a good explanation for it. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Sorry for a little inside the Beltway discussion. Quinnen Williams is going to join us, Jets defensive end. Excited or nervous for tonight for baseball?
I'm excited. Anytime the Dodgers have two chances to win the World Series, I'm excited as a Dodgers fan.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and baseball's been good. It's been a good. People have kind of turned on to the World Series.
They
haven't turned on, but they should have turned on to it because it's been a very good series.
I love John. Baseball has turned on to me. No, they haven't. Well, they should have turned on to me. Whatever. This is a real discussion here. This is Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. So I talked to you guys about my son Hayes, who's a good little baseball player. And, you know, he went through this, I don't want to play baseball. And at first it was because he said it was boring, but really, it was because he struggled with his hitting because he got hit in the eye, and then the fear of the ball got kind of worse, and now he's working through it. He's back playing anyway. Like, dude, 2 days ago he's like, baseball's my favorite sport now. I was like, okay, and he's watching these games, so I agree. I think people that are watching are more into it now. It's a little bit different watch because there's not the fans, but the games are really interesting, and I think that part of the having the three hitter rule, I think that really helps it. Because as much tension as there is in baseball, and there's a lot of tension, you're coming over like, oh my gosh, you know. And I mean, if they miss by like 2 inches, it feels like it's either a ball or a home run. That's what it feels like. I know it's not, but that's how it feels watching. There's a lot of tension in baseball, but the three pitchers or four pitchers in an inning, I love baseball. I love the strategy to it, but you know, come on, man. When there's more commercials than there is action, I can't do it. So I think that really helps. I think the fact that the Dodgers have scored early, you know, like last game was 4-2, wasn't a high scoring game, but seeing a number up there early does make there's a little bit more offense. So I'm trying to figure out why it's a little bit better watch. Byer, do you think it's been a good watch? Like, what's your, because you don't have a dog in the fight.
No, absolutely not. No, and I do think that it has been a good watch. And one of the reasons that I think, and it's actually why I think that maybe basketball wasn't necessarily the atmosphere, which I did think it played a role in the NBA, but we're just accustomed to playoff atmosphere baseball in late October. And the setting didn't necessarily matter. Just the type of atmosphere that's something that we were used to and programmed to, and I think that's why it's also been a good watch.
That's interesting. I didn't actually think of it that way. I think, and this kind of threw me off with the game four jerseys the Rays had, you know, mm-hmm. with the hats. Where I guess is that their original hats like they threw back to?
Yes, those ugly hats.
Yes, they were ugly.
They were. I said it on Twitter. I said those are the ugliest hats.
In
that's
World
Little League hats.
Yeah, they're bad.
They were bad. I agree.
They were bad. They're not.
They were wearing like.
I thought they were their spring training hats or the batting
they
practice hats.
The batting practice hats.
That's what I thought. Like, all right, then they'll just put on the TBs.
The juxtaposition of the LA Dodgers are probably the second or third most iconic hat in baseball, right? Like, I would do Yankees 1, Red Sox 2, Dodgers probably 3. Are we okay with that?
Sure.
I'm good with that.
Okay. And the logic is they weren't always the LA Dodgers, right? They just weren't. And you're talking about Boston going back 100 years, Yankees going back, plus they're the most successful franchise ever. That's why you rank them like that, guy. And I would say Mets are actually 4, by the way. That would be my...
Interesting.
I would put Mets or... Cubs. Yeah. Cubs, Mets.
I'll tell you another one. Can I throw it? Detroit.
The old English D is really cool.
And pop culture.
Do you like
in
the white or do you like in the orange?
The white. But I think that the pop culture of, you
Detroit?
Know, of Tom Selleck,
ooh,
of Ice Cube,
yeah,
of those guys wearing that that hat also plays a part. But
okay, wait. So that's our hold on. That's our list. What would be the next most iconic? We did Cubs. I mean, White Sox. Go ahead. Giants. I think San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco, that's old English.
What is that lettering style?
I'm not sure what the font is.
It's cool.
I'll give you my, because I hate to say it. Okay.
I got my pen.
Grab your pen. Everybody at home, grab the pen.
We never do this, and I actually super dig it. You know, we do this thing where we have a formula to how we do sports radio, and so if you want me to, you know, we'll get back to that. To me, this is like when I'm sitting around with buddies watching a game, this is the kind of stuff I do, where, you know, you start talking, because I'm a big hat guy. And it really, the Cowherd thing bothers me because he's talking about guys wearing their hats backwards and how it appears to him, but Colin only wears a hat when he's playing tennis and he'll wear, you know, and I mean, there's nothing whiter than that statement, but anyway, go ahead. I can't find a pen.
The hat that I like, and I don't like this team, but I think it's my favorite hat, is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Ooh, but is it more iconic than the Giants?
No, I don't think so, but it's the one that I like the most.
Why do you like it the most?
I think because of the little T of the Saint.
Oh.
You know, with the interlockings, like that sort of, that one as well.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I also noticed in the NLCS of... You know, the Braves deserve credit because
that A is great.
And for guys like us, where we remember the Royal Blue Dale Murphy mid-80s and then the transition to that new A, and that new A has stood the last now 30 years.
It's great. It's great A.
Yeah.
It's a really, really cool. I miss Chief Wahoo. I do. Indians hat was really cool. And now it's just a C. You know, it's fine. But... I thought the Chief Wahoo. Reds hat's pretty big time. Pirates hat pretty cool too. Like all these, and Pirates hat is the same. It feels like the same font as the San Francisco Giants. Is that accurate? Feels like it is. We missed one. We missed a great hat. We missed a top five hat. Top 10, but maybe top five. Orioles.
Cartoon bird.
Yeah, the cartoon bird with the white in the middle and then the black around it, you know, black panels with the orange bill.
Yeah.
That's the Orioles hat that I think stands out above the others.
I would also say this. We did start talking about classic looks because I think we all love the Brewers hat as well, the balling mitt, and the B.
Yes.
But I would also say, and I know that the Orioles is a classic bird it goes for, but I think we were more looking at the letters than, you know, the real classic look.
You think?
That's what I thought, like we started on.
Well, I mean, I don't like the... I like the Oriole, like the one with the, what is it, like the cartoony bird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about the same thing. I just think of just hats. You know, when I see the hat, I know who the team is, right? Or if I see you walking through an airport and you have that hat in, I know where you're from, right? That's kind of how I look.
Yeah. I like the TC of the Twins because
TC
it's
of the
not
twins good.
Just an M for Minnesota or Minneapolis. It's, you know, both Minneapolis and St. Paul, the TC.
Yeah. I remember for like when we were kids, the Twins were good, right? With Kirby Puckett and Kent Herbeck, and Frankie Sweet Music Viola, the Circle Change, right? Mm-hmm. He was amazing. And they played in the Homer Dome. But I got to tell you, it probably wasn't until I was in my 20s where I understood the TC stood for Twin Cities. it wasn't probably until 7 or 8 years ago that I knew that there was an MB in that Brewers thing. And I was born in Milwaukee and I was kind of like a quasi Brewers fan, but for whatever reason, it didn't dawn on me. I don't know. Here's a question. What about the Blue Jays? Are they in that conversation?
I like the Canadian leaf on the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's a nice touch. It's a nice touch. Is that a maple leaf? I believe it is.
Yeah, I think it works, really well with it. It gives it a nice accent. Not as good as the Dodger red numbers on their uniforms do, but yeah.
Yeah, the Dodger red, the red and the Dodgers.
Very unique because just red out of nowhere. It's just red. Where did that come from?
I'd love to know. Maybe Joe Buck will tell us tonight, right? Because they're wearing the whites tonight.
You should text him, Doug. Say, hey, tell us where the red comes from. That'd be good knowledge.
Okay, so, but again, this is the part of the problem with the Rays, which is like they dropped the devil. They used to be the Devil Rays. Now they're just the Rays. They just because it's not an iconic name. It's just, and they've been around a long time. I'm guessing that Beyer knows how long. Ramos, you want to guess how long the Tampa Bay Rays have been long?
Well, 2020, they won 95? 1995?
What do you think there, Vince? You want to take a swing at it?
It's either 92 or 94.
I think it's like, I was going to guess 93. Beyer, you want to take a swing at it?
For the Rays?
Yes.
98.
That's how long they've been around?
Yeah, because it was the Rockies and Marlins, I thought, in 93, and I thought that the Diamondbacks were, is that?
The Tampa Bay Rays, okay, were 1998. So, you're pretty good at what you do.
Dan is very good at that.
I think their first hats were green, weren't they? With a ray kind of underneath. So I don't know why they would break out those awful hats in the World Series. Like, if you want to go back to the old school ones and throw some green ones on, like, that would be cool.
By the way, the Ray works on their sleeve. It's fine there.
Totally works on the sleeve.
Totally. But totally it works. Doesn't. That hat.
Because it was too big?
It was humongous.
It was gigantic. Which, by the way, Rays are like the actual animal, which there was a bunch in Southern California this summer. Like, they are kind of gigantic. Really graceful animals. I know, obviously, watch out for the barb. R.I.P. to the crocodile hunter.
Right.
Right? But it was just too big.
Yeah,
it was... like, took up the whole bill of the hat.
Yeah, it was
There's a ratio. Bad. There was a ratio part to it, which was off. I think that they had green ones, and I just want to know why they went to those ones. Like, who makes that decision? Who makes that decision? Other part of the Rays, which are really interesting, is like that they've been in the World Series twice. And I think of so many franchises who have never been in there. And they like just kind of invented a franchise. They were terrible forever, it seemed like. And, now they're usually almost always successful. Obviously, that's why the Dodgers went and took their GM and made him their president or whatever.
Didn't Wade Boggs get his 3,000th hit as a Tampa Bay Ray?
Yeah, he did.
How about that one?
I believe he did. Go ahead.
They also wanted to make him wear a Rays hat when he got inducted, I thought. At least I thought that was part of the deal when he was going to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame, but that did not happen.
Who was? Here's one. Who is the first baseman on the first Rays team? This is a good one. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he was like an iconic player from
Fred McGriff.
Yeah, the crime dog. And Fred McGriff is known for two things, right? And one is being the crime dog, great nickname, and the other one is being on that that baseball commercial.
Tom Emanski.
Back to back to back AU national champions, right?
And he played, I think he played a season with the Dodgers, too.
He did? The crime dog?
He did. If you look up, I think it was 1 year he played with the Dodgers.
He did play with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I did find out about the red numbers on the Dodgers uniform.
All right.
Go. I like this.
Paul Lucas, a UniWatch who's been all over uniforms for forever, posted a piece that found online. The Dodgers were set to wear their uniforms, these uniforms with red numbers in the 1951 World Series, But Bobby Thompson ruined that, according to the piece, with his shot heard around the world. So the Dodgers did not make the World Series. So they decided to use their uniforms the next season. And they were told by Rawlings that to put the number in front and have them in red because it matched the red on the Dodgers logo. So the Dodgers just had the white and blue uniforms, but when they added the numbers in front, Rawlings suggested, why don't you make it red? Because in the Dodgers logo, they had the red on the baseball, and that's why they put the red numbers in front. They were the first team to wear numbers on the front of their jerseys as well. The red also allowed you to see it a little bit better from a distance.
Hmm.
That's according to the UniWatch piece.
Hmm. The Brooklyn, the then Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers, it was the Dodgers, and then they became the L.A. Dodgers. There's so much, like, I do kind of dig the history stuff to it. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. And then the, you know, if they win tonight, they won in 88, right? In 88, the Lakers also won. By the way, neither have had a victory parade. So I wonder what happened. Or did they have a virtual parade or anything for the Lakers? Did anything happen? They're just going to wait until things.
They're going to wait.
Yeah, they're just going to wait on that. Here's the, go ahead. I'm
no,
sorry,
they all Mark. Went to the Kardashian Island. Too.
Here's the thing about the Rays, okay? This was their first 10 years of existence, okay? 10 years. They lost 99, 93, 92, 100, 106, 99, 91, 95, 101, and 96 games. And the next year went to the World Series. I know that people don't, it's a bad stadium, and that people don't really care, and it was basically known for the Yankees' spring training home. And, you know, you got all these snowbirds that were there, but good luck getting anybody to go. Like, the idea that it's easy. We see social, like, hey, I cracked the joke even. Hey, the Rays have been practicing social distancing since their existence. But can you think of anybody who would go to a baseball team who for 10 years never lost fewer than 91 games? Like, that's crazy. Crazy. And since then, they've lost 90 games only once, and they've been to the playoffs six times, and now are still two games. They're two games away from winning a World Series, but it'll be interesting tonight. I want to get to the unique decision the Dodgers are making. Plus, and this is important. Plus, what we learned from last night's game broadcast of a guy who I feel like gets a pass in sports. All right. We'll get to that upcoming. All right, we'll get to that upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Talk about timing. Yesterday, I'm walking out the door, and Lee Mayock, who books our show, sent a text and said, hey, Quinnen Williams tomorrow prep. I was like, dude, I love Quinnen Williams. But I didn't know I was going to wake up and open my computer, and suddenly there were going to be rumors about the second-year defensive lineman potentially being traded. Let's ask the man himself. He's having an outstanding second year in the National Football League with the New York Jets. Quinnen Williams. Quinnen, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm great. Okay, so we woke up today, and we read there's at least one report that the Jets are willing to take offers for anybody, including their star young defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams. When you read that, or you heard that, or you saw it on Twitter or a friend, what was your reaction?
I really didn't have a big reaction, man, just because, like, I just won't focus on football, man. I can't really focus on outside things but football. I just got to really focus on going out there every week, putting my best foot forward, trying to make plays, trying to put my position and help the defense win and help the whole team win in general. So I really ain't focused on that too much. I really ain't really read or look over it or hit on about it too much just because I'm just so focused in this organization and trying to help the team win.
Let's go back now to last year. High ankle sprain really kind of derailed part of your rookie season. How difficult was that for you to not be able to play at full strength for the entire season?
It was definitely difficult, man, because I wasn't performing at the level I knew I could perform at. So it was definitely frustrating at some times, but I just knew this off season, man, I did a lot of things to not have those soft tissue injuries like that and just to have a better season and a better outcome this year.
So what did you do specifically? Like, what in training did you do to prevent some soft tissue stuff?
Just a lot of little therapy, small different things like that. But I did a lot of stuff, man. So it's really not anything I can really pinpoint right now or in time. But I did a lot of stuff like just conditioning, nutrition, just opening my mind up to different things, man.
Quinnen Williams joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He leads all interior defensive linemen with 18 stops. That's according to Pro Football Focus. Fourth among interior defensive linemen with 17 tackles against the run. Also third in run stoppage among interior defenders. So by all accounts, having an outstanding second year. How different is it, though? Not just being healthy, but also now that you played in the league, in that you're able to not think as much and just go play.
Definitely, man. Going from my first year to my second has been probably like night and day, man. Just the coaching staff that I have, like Greg Williams, man, Andre Carter, and those guys like that, man, they just they helped me out tremendously, man. Those guys been in the NFL. Andre Carter, I did line coach, played in the NFL many years. Greg been coaching in the NFL many years. So the tips and the gems that they give me, man, is unmatched, man. Things I can use for the rest of my career, man. This helped me in my second year just be the person I am. So
yeah. Those are good voices to have in your ear, right? Andre Carter was a great player. And of course, Greg Williams, the guy, longtime defensive coordinator, has won a Super Bowl before. When Andre talks to you, what's the thing he's harping on you now that you need to continue to kind of improve on and get even better?
The main thing he always tells me every day, man, just have fun. He always tell me, you got to this this position by being you, so don't ever stop being you. And that's a big thing that I have, because I watch a lot of guys who's on the elite level in the NFL, and a lot of defensive tackles who play on the elite level in the NFL, and I try to replicate a lot of stuff that they do and different things like that. But he always tell me, man, just be you, man. Just go out there and ball out every weekend like I know you can. That's what I basically try to do every week.
Quinnen Williams joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Here's the hard part. No matter how well you play, the team is struggling. How do you handle that emotion? Like, you played Alabama. I think you've lost as many games this year as you did your entire playing career at Alabama. How do you handle that emotionally?
Can't really focus on that, man. All thing I can really focus on what I can control. Coach Saban always taught me, man, you can control what you can control. And that was just a big thing that we had at Bama. So I was just going to the game every day, man, just wanting to put my best foot forward and just do anything I can do to help the team win and just try to execute every play and do my job every play. So
you're a guy, you have, and I know what Coach Saban, but you've always had this incredible positive outlook. After your mom's passing, you've just never been a kind of a Debbie Downer guy. Like, where does that come from? Is it Coach Saban's teaching? Is something your mom taught you before she passed? Like, what? Because anyone I know who knows you is like, man, that dude is a happy-go-lucky. Like, you play hard in a football field, but it doesn't feel like you let those negative emotions come in your life. How do you handle that?
It's a mixture, man. Coach Saban taught me a lot of stuff, man, when I was at Bama coming in as a rookie and different things like that. And my mom taught me a lot of stuff growing up, man. So it's basically a mixture of those two and the way I go in my professional life and my lifestyle professionally. You got to really just be blessed to be in the position where you're at, because a lot of guys wish they was in the NFL. So that's how I really look at it. Like, a lot of people in the world wish they was an NFL football player, so I really can't be negative about it that I'm on the 0-17 or that we lose right now. I just got to go out there and handle what I can handle and just do what I can do to help the team win and or be in a position, be in a better position to win. So
Quinnen Williams joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. He's here on behalf of Tide. During a time when hygiene is top of mind for most Americans, Tide Hygiene Clean was a perfect solution to help facilitate the respected jersey swap tradition for Quinnen during all your games. So who'd you swap with last week?
I didn't swap with nobody last week. I swapped with Raekwon Davis and Tua the week before that in Miami. And I think I swapped with Mecole Hardman this week. But I partnered with Tide Hygienic Clean to do a little thing with them just because it was crazy when the corona hit and different things like that, and they were saying, like, we can't swap jerseys anymore in the field and different things like that. And when I got in the NFL, it was a big thing for me because I was a huge fan of a lot of guys in the NFL, and they was like one of my things, I was like, I got to get this person's jersey. I got to get this person's jersey. So I was just so happy that Ty had reached out and was created something to help wash everybody's jersey so we can keep the tradition of game day swapping jerseys alive. So,
were you on the field when Tua threw those two passes?
Yeah, I was on the field, both of them.
Okay, so are you sitting there going like, man, Tua's my guy, right? I can't hurt him. On the other hand, it's your job to tackle him. Did that pass cost you your mind at all?
No, I was trying to get a sack every time. So I'm like, man, I got to get a sack. If it's Fitz Patrick or Tua, man, I'm trying to get a sack on pass plays. So that was my thinking about every time. Like, and I know Tua can't really run fast like Fitzpatrick. So I'm like, yeah, I can really hawk him down if he break contain or something like that. So
you mentioned how you're such a big fan of some of these guys you swap jerseys with. Is there anybody who's been blocking you to where they're blocking you? Like, hey, man, just so you know, I'm a big fan of yours.
Nah, not for real. I just like Aaron Donald. We played L.A. Rams this year, so I hope I can get a jersey from him. Russell Wilson is a big thing, and I hope I get a jersey from Russell Wilson. Either this year or later on down the line, it really don't matter, but I hope I can get one of his. Odell's probably Odell. So
yeah, the problem is Odell got hurt, right? So he's not gonna be there. But I think Aaron Donald's a definite possibility. Okay, here's have you ever seen anything like what we saw on Sunday Night Football? Like, you played with some dudes that had some speed at Bama, but DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
What DK Metcalf did on Sunday Night Football, that is crazy, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. DK, my dog, man, I had hit him all right after, and I was like, you half human, half alien. So,
have you heard, like, if you go on Twitter, you can hear Buda Baker was mic'd up for the game, and so he's like, how'd he catch me? How'd he catch me? And then he tried to say he ran out of gas, but that ain't it, because DK ran, he ran a crossing
DK
route.
Alien. That's my dog. He a different breed, man. He a different human, man. So he that big, that strong, that athletic, and that fast, man. That's a different breed.
And plays that hard. That was the impressive thing. And a lot of guys would have given up on the play. He plays that hard. Maybe that's why Ole Miss could score with you guys when you were at Bama. They had dudes. They had dogs like DK Metcalf, right? Like that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Hey, Quinnen, best of luck and continued success and health. Appreciate you joining us on behalf of Tide.
All right, thank you.
Pleasure's all mine. That's Quinnen Williams of the New York Jets. You know what that speaks to? I think what happens is he's having a good year. Obviously, the stats don't lie. He's obviously a lot of opportunities, but he's got sacks. He's tackles for a loss, and we mentioned how well he's grading out with Pro Football Focus. But that's just a case of two things. One, he doesn't have a rabbi in the room. He doesn't have what you need in order to be successful, which is Joe Douglas didn't draft him, so there's no connection to him. And I think the other thing is it's pretty obvious that the Jets just want to get as many, not just young guys, but movable contracts as possible. My guess is, and you know, there's now multiple reports that he's not on the trade block. My guess is they didn't get the offers that they wanted at the time. You know, you're looking right now for a team that's a little bit desperate, willing to overpay a first and maybe a second or a third or something for a guy who's a former first round pick. And that would make sense to me, even though he's a very, very good player, because you're just trying to load up. The way to win in this league is to have as many second and third round picks as possible. You don't have those massive contracts. And if first round picks aren't terrible for star players, and then you win while your quarterback's on a rookie contract. So I think the whole thing is really, really interesting what happens with New York. But you know, if the GM is not the GM who drafted you, you're probably not long for that spot, which is interesting with Sam Darnold. Speaking of Sam Darnold, some believe that Trevor Lawrence could be his eventual replacement. But is Trevor Lawrence even going pro?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get to the press.
The press.
Representative Beyer of Virginia.
All right, Dan, what do you got?
Doug, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says that the college football game scheduled for this Saturday between number 9 Wisconsin and Nebraska is in jeopardy of being canceled or considered a no contest because of positive COVID results within the Wisconsin football team. The number could reach the Big Ten threshold that would force Wisconsin to shut down their activities for 7 days. Of course, we found out that Graham Mertz, the starting quarterback, had tested positive for COVID-19, and a second test also came up positive, but that Badger Huskers game could be in jeopardy this Saturday.
Which actually could benefit the Badgers because they had a big win over Illinois, looked great with Mertz, who only missed on one pass, 20 of 21 passing. But, you know, you go to your four-string quarterback playing in Nebraska, desperately need a win. That get weird. It could end actually benefit the Badgers.
That game right now scheduled, still on, 3:30 Eastern time on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday. Clemson has Boston College coming up on Saturday. Trevor Lawrence asked today about the possibility of maybe not going to the NFL.
Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
Yeah, that's being taken as some answer where he says he might.
Yeah.
Can we just, like, listen, I know he's super religious. I understand. Can we come to one agreement? God does not have a plan for Trevor Lawrence's football career. Right? He's like, let's see here, like, hunger, world peace, melting ice caps, you know. I'm trying to think what else is on the big fella's plate. Election, right? Like the harmony between races and all this other stuff. Ooh, wait, hold on, guys. Let me see here. What do I want to do with Trevor Lawrence? Let's formulate a plan. No, and I'm not in any way. Okay, maybe in a small way. I'm in a very small way making a sarcastic remark about his religion, but like. We do this thing where, like, a lot of people who are religious, they say, you know, and it's not about me, it's about the Lord and my Lord and Savior, which is great, which is a selfless, but the idea that your career and your life is so important that God actually has a whole plan. Well, you know, we're going to win all these games and then win the college football championship and then we're going to send you to the New York Jets. Like, no, that's incredibly arrogant. It goes, I'm sorry. Yeah. That one, actually, I'm not a huge fan of.
It's absurd because we all know God only cares about the SEC.
That's true.
So
that's a good point. I mean, God pays the kids. That's what he does.
Let's be real.
Because God tells them to go to LSU and to Alabama.
You know, Justin Herbert had a decision to make. He decided to stay at Oregon for his senior season and then enter the NFL draft. It's gone pretty good for the Chargers rookie quarterback, but things as of late, not so good.
Are you in your apartment right now?
No, I'm actually in the hotel because we had to evacuate our house because of the fires.
Oh, no.
Yes, Southern California wildfires forcing Herbert to, as you heard there with Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show, Herbert had to evacuate.
Yeah, we missed the that was in Irvine, was about 90,000 people were evacuated. It was really smoky last night, but it's better today. The fires are bad, but I don't think anybody's, I could be wrong, I don't think... This is kind of a lucky knock on wood. That area where the fire was going towards is Irvine. It's like the safest city in the country, but it's also like a pre-planned community. And the chances of anything structurally being damaged is like almost none, because when you get close to where the actual homes are, there are sprinkler systems built in there. There's roads for the fire trucks. Like, it's the smoke was really, really bad.
Sure.
But I don't think people were in as big a danger other than the smoke as some other wildfires would normally leave you.
Yeah, I spoke to a buddy this morning who lives down there. They had to evacuate last night at 11 o'clock,
yep.
Did sound positive and didn't think that their home was necessarily in danger.
Correct.
So there's some news from the Masters.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
Augusta National Golf Club will not be holding their annual par 3 contest prior to the start of the Masters.
Well,
next
what happened
month.
To all those kids that are cute as a button?
Yeah, well, they're not going to be allowed on the ground.
Are they going to be virtually there? They're like really cute kids dressed up in that all-white gear?
What they they are going to do, they are going to have a champions dinner. They're not going to have it in the usual room. They're going to have it downstairs in the clubhouse where there's more room. And Tiger Woods had previously said that some of the older champions likely wouldn't be there because just of the possible risks. However, Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player are still scheduled to hit the ceremonial first tee shots prior to the start of the event. Which
Rona's
by the
got
way,
nothing on Jack.
No, oh, comes man, up bear. In comes up in 2 weeks. So yeah, so the Masters will be here.
So weird.
Yeah, 2 weeks from Thursday will be the first round. All right, let's jump around to some baseball. World Series tonight, Game 6, Rays and Dodgers. Coverage on Fox, 7:30 Eastern. Blake Snell against Tony Gonsolin. Dodgers up 3-2 in the series. Austin Barnes doing the catching tonight. Will Smith will be the team's designated hitter.
Was Austin Barnes Gosselin's like personal attaché? What's the story there?
I think it's more of the Blake Snell situation of him on the mound.
Matchup.
Yes.
Like the matchup.
Yes. So the, Dodgers could try to get it done tonight.
You think they do? Do you use Kenley Jansen in the ninth?
Sure.
You do? Hell no. No. Oh. No.
I'd like to see it go seven. I would.
That's why.
Yeah. Yay.
He's a shot fighter, dude. There's nothing. He got nothing left.
It'll be the second straight year that the home team won't win a game in the World Series. Because we had last year when it was the road team, and then this year, I guess there's really no home team. That's the press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Ramos, do your boys get it done tonight?
I think they do, but they're going to have to score a lot of runs tonight. It's not going to be a 3-1 game. They're going to have to score at least, I'd say, 6 runs to win tonight.
They got to score one more run than the Rays.
That's true, too.
That's it. I want to see them win because I like the white uniforms.
Dodger home.
But they'd be wearing the white uniforms tomorrow night, or
that's correct
as well because they are the ones here. They get the home. It'll be fun.
10.
Smoltz is awesome, and Joe Buck has done an amazing job with all his games. All right, we'll see if there's a Big Ten game this weekend. We got baseball lots tomorrow.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.